Sunday evening, February 9th, 1964, at 7 o'clock Central Time, 73 million television viewers, a record-setting number, tuned in to CBS to hear Ed Sullivan introduce the Beatles to America.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
Close your eyes and I'll be soon.
John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr performed five songs that night. Their recording of I Wanna Hold Your Hand had already hit number one on the Billboard chart in December, and it stayed there as the group released nine more songs that year, which also rocketed into the top 100. Author Bob Keeling has written extensively about the Beatles' first trip to the States. He says it was extraordinary for a group from England to have such an outsized impact.
Any artist who had come over from England before the Beatles, like Cliff Richard, had basically sunk like a stone. So the fact that the Beatles had success coming here at the beginning of '64 was transformative. It was unprecedented. And I think it's a tribute to how good the music was and still is that we're still talking about them 60 years later.
The fall of 1963 had been traumatic. Controversy over civil rights, the war in Vietnam, and the assassination of the country's charismatic young president, John F. Kennedy, just 11 weeks before the Beatles arrived in the States. Keeling says the country was in a state of collective mourning and anxiety about the nation's future, and he says the Beatles' arrival played a major role in changing America's mood.
Really, in terms of what the Beatles brought to America, was not only this wonderful, fresh music that still resonates today, it's also a sense of, you know, smiling again and getting over the collective malaise of JFK's assassination.
The hysteria surrounding the pop group was already being called Beatlemania in the American press when the band arrived in New York's newly renamed Kennedy Airport on February 7th. They were greeted by 4,000 screaming fans and about 200 journalists. The hard-boiled New York press corps was ready to pounce on these brash young Brits, but the reporters were quickly charmed by the Beatles' contagious exuberance and cheeky wit.
Could you please sing something?
No! No, we need money first.
The Beatles went on to appear on The Sullivan Show three more times in 1964, but that first appearance is regarded as the Big Bang moment for the 1960s counterculture. Overnight, American boys started combing their hair forward and growing it out. Thousands bought electric guitars and formed their own music groups. Some of those bands became superstars. Well, most never left their parents' garage. But author Bob Keeling says the cultural shift the Beatles brought was impossible to ignore, even decades later. While researching his book about the Beatles' arrival in the States, Keeling interviewed a reporter from Miami who lucked into the assignment of a lifetime in 1964. Larry Kane was 21 years old when his editor assigned him to accompany the British band on their first U.S. tour. He told Keeling he witnessed something amazing while flying across the country with the band.
The Beatles were all huddled together in the aisle of the airplane, and Larry had the very distinct and rare honor to see the Beatles writing a song together while they were in the air over the state of Kansas. And he said, I could hear them sort of clapping on this song, and I suggested maybe they speed it up a little bit, and they did. And the song was 8 days a week.
That's right. According to reporter Larry Kane, 8 days a week was written in the sky above Kansas. And the Beatles' music changed popular culture in ways that are still unfolding 60 years after that historic Sunday night on The Ed Sullivan Show. For Kansas Public Radio, I'm Tom Parkinson.